And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is potpourri. Each of my guests is discussing an interesting topic, no two of which are alike. My next guest is a veteran of the music industry, most recently with Rhino Records. He lived a different reality in 1967 than most people remember about the Summer of Love, and that reality shaped him forever. We'll discuss his memoir as part of his life from his book, The Summer of Love, My Ass. And if you want to join in the conversation or if you want to ask a question, you can always call us at 639-0008. Tom Brown lives in Laguna Niguel, California with his wife. Interestingly enough, they were childhood sweethearts. And he's one that has one of the largest Frank Zappa music and memorabilia collections in the world. He became a professional musician, playing the drums at the age of 16, and finished out his musical career by playing exclusively with Zog's Rift from 1988 until his last project in 2001. In the interim, he pretended to be an executive in the music industry, working for Rhino Records for nearly 20 years. While at Rhino Records, he compiled The Beat of the Boots 1 and 2 for Frank Zappa, which resulted in the largest export sales that that company had seen up to that time. He's currently working on another book or two, and he prefers to be called Tom. Joining us from Laguna Niguel. Hi, Tom. How are you doing today?
Good morning.
Well, thank you for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy Brain. I actually enjoy looking forward to this interview because you are a thought leader, an unintentional thought leader about the late 1960s and the Vietnam War. And what I find interesting, you were a conscientious objector during the Vietnam War, and your stance, where you really were sort of exercising your free will, caused you an enormous amount of trouble. So take us back to that time. America was a very different place than it is today. How and why was standing up against the Vietnam War such a difficult decision for you?
Well, it wasn't a difficult decision at all. It was my immediate thought when I received my draft notice, even before that. And the problem was, I'm the kind of guy, I was the wrong guy for this job.
How so?
Along with many other people, I'm sure. There were thousands of us. I had no desire to wear a uniform. I had no desire to shoot weapons at anyone. I didn't want anything to do with it. And I, of course, followed the textbook rules at the time. When I went down to the induction center, I took as many drugs as I possibly could. I was as uncooperative as I possibly could be. And yet, they actually shanghaied me. I went back 3 days in a row. Because I gave them so much trouble, they kept making me come back. And on the third day, they actually notified me that I was in the Army, and two MPs installed me on a bus bound for Fort Ord, basic training, that was full of nothing but enlistees.
Mm.
And they announced that I didn't want to be in the Army, and I was being drafted, and they were responsible for making sure that I didn't get off the bus on the way to Fort Ord. And that was the beginning of the nightmare. And it's utterly ridiculous, which is why I can find it so amusing now, so many years later. It wasn't funny at the time.
No, not at all. I can't imagine that it was very funny at the time. Well, Tom, let's go into it a little bit more in detail, because some critics would say that the reason that you were putting on this front is because you just didn't want to be sent to Vietnam, and you thought that this was going to be the easiest way to stay out of the Army. How true or false is that statement?
Oh, it's absolutely true. I didn't want to have anything to do with the Army.
Hmm.
Nothing at all. I was a musician. I was enjoying some mid-level success in a popular local group. And why would I want to stop doing that? I was making a decent living. Why would I want to stop doing that and go in the Army and get myself killed for absolutely nothing?
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So you're thrown on this bus. You're heading up to Fort Ord with all of these enlistees. They made your life a living hell. I mean, there's no doubt about that. At what point did you make the conscious decision that, you know, going against the stream is getting me into all of this trouble? And why didn't you at some point just say, I'm going to go with the flow, which was a common expression at the time?
I'm just not the kind of guy that goes with the flow. I have a propensity to speak my mind at all times, which is what got me in trouble ultimately with my job at Rhino Records after almost 20 years. I was terminated for insubordination, which I remain proud of, just like I remain proud of what I did in resisting the Army, trying to make me a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
They were just never going to do it, but it was like speaking to a man who couldn't see and couldn't hear. I mean, it's utterly absurd, which is what makes the book so funny, I think.
Well, it does add an element of comedy to it. But I guess the bigger question, you know, why was the stance that you took against the Vietnam War so important to you at the time? A lot of people your age and in that era who didn't want to serve simply went to Canada. Why didn't you follow that path?
I'm a stubborn guy. What can I tell you? And I'm obstinate. And I had no desire to leave the country. I lived here. My friends were here. My job was here. And to tell you the truth, I didn't think they would ever take me. I thought I could convince them at the induction center never to take me. Hmm. I did everything I possibly could.
Right.
And when my plea fell on deaf ears, you know, I immediately had to start improvising and trying to come up with a way to escape their clutches. And unfortunately, it didn't go so well.
No, it didn't. My guest is Tom Brown, author of the book Summer of Love My Ass, a memoir, June 12, 1967 to April 28, 1969. So, Tom, here, what makes the book so important is you've got real drama here. You've got yourself as a very stubborn young man, willful, wanting to stay out of the Army, and then you've got an equally stubborn U.S. Army who needed people to go to Vietnam. That is a prescription for high drama. So give us some idea of the difficulties that you encountered when you were in the military service.
Well, just about every minute would encompass that, as a matter of fact. I don't know if you went to my website and read the free chapter, but my first plan of attack was I faked a suicide, thinking that how could they possibly want to deal with something like that with a man who was too weak and mentally unprepared for this sort of assault on your senses when one goes to boot camp. I don't know if you were ever in the Army.
No, I wasn't. I was of a generation behind you, so I did not have to serve in the Army. But it's interesting because here's the Army has been dealing with suicides forever. I mean, ever since World War I when they called it battle shock or battle fatigue all the way through. And if you saw the movie Patton, you know that people in the Army are not particularly sympathetic to those who have mental issues in the Army.
I discovered that pretty quickly, yes.
So what happened to you, Tom?
I'm sorry?
So what happened to you? I mean, you faked this suicide, and the Army...
They took me out of base. I faked the suicide 1 week after I had been in boot camp.
Mm.
I didn't mess around. I had to come up with a plan immediately to get out of this, and I didn't want to go to jail. I had no desire. I wasn't noble enough to say, hey, I'm just going to go to jail. I thought I could get around it and get away from them, and it didn't work out. They gave me my own private room. I was excused from training, and then the drill sergeant there made me his pet project, and he was going to save me. He was not about to let me ruin my life by being discharged by the Army for being unfit.
Hmm.
And he wound up dumbing my records. I participated in boot camp, I think, for 3 days only. I was on KP the rest of the time. I was assigned to KP the first 10 minutes I was in boot camp. because they spotted me immediately. He dummied my records, and he took me over to advanced infantry training there at Ord and dropped me off at Radio Man School. And that's when I first went AWOL. My first day at Radio Man School, I was fed up. I had been there for 2.5-3 months already. I'd been waiting for a discharge. They kept telling me they were going to discharge me, and it turned out that it was denied. So finally, I had to suck it up, and I went AWOL for 6 months. And I rejoined the band. We were playing at a place called the Broadside in Pomona. And one night, we went to work a little early, and I was up on stage fiddling with my drum kit. And lo and behold, there appeared before me two FBI agents who whisked me away. And I got 6 months in the stockade and back to duty. I did 4.5 months. They made me a parolee. I found out my discharge was being denied at that point again, and I left, and I went AWOL, and they charged me with AWOL and escape, and I got another 6 months and back to duty. So I had two special court martials, and in the interim, I hired a pretty famous lawyer at the time. I think he was in up north somewhere, Francis Heisler, and he was a champion of all the guys who wanted to get away from the Army, and he got a lot of guys out of the Army. He didn't get me out of the Army, but, and it goes on and on and on, and it's just an unbelievably strange story.
Well, that it is. I'm talking to Tom Brown, author of the book Summer of Love My Ass, a memoir. Now, Tom, in retrospect, I want to ask you to look at that first sergeant that had your drill sergeant who wanted to save you from being dishonorably discharged. At the time, clearly, what were your thoughts about that sergeant and his actions? And then, with the benefit of hindsight, how do you view that sergeant and his actions today?
Well, I still hate the guy. We hated each other immediately then, and I hate to say this out in public, but it's true. I hope he's dead. And he wasn't saving me from anything dishonorable at all. I mean, I would have gotten a general discharge, which is what I was up for.
Right.
Which is just, I was unfit.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have any problem with that at all. I would have taken a dishonorable discharge, is how adamant I was.
Well, in the end, how were you discharged from the Army?
I actually got an undesirable discharge.
Right. Okay. All right. And so that did get you out of the Army. But even in hindsight, you don't look back on this guy and say, hey, you know, with the passage of time, maybe this guy was trying to do the right thing. But it didn't work out because of where my head was at the time in 1967.
Well, exactly. I mean, he was just doing his job,
mm-hmm.
and he had no idea how strongly I really felt about it, although I, you know, didn't cooperate at all.
Yes. Well, that is true.
They thought the mentality was, we'll make you do this. You have to do this. Everybody is doing this. And you have to do it, too. It's your responsibility. And I wasn't buying it.
No, that's true. My guest is Tom Brown, author of the book Summer of Love, My Ass. So, Tom, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, The Summer of Love, My Ass?
Well, I want them to have a good time, have a great read with it. I think I've made it fun, above and beyond the subject matter and the torture that I endured. But you know, war is unhealthy. I hate to use a cliche from the 60s, but it absolutely is. It's no good. It does no one any good at all. People die. People are displaced. It's ugly. You have to agree with me on that, wouldn't you?
Oh, I agree with you. I'm not a proponent of war. There's no doubt about that. And so that comes across in your book, maybe to a lesser extent, behind the comedy, behind the circumstances that you were faced with. So let me ask you this, because we're running out of time. If people are intrigued by what you have to say and they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
I would direct them to go to my website, which is www.summeroflovemyass.com. There's a free chapter posted on there. My endorsement's on there. There's a brief timeline of the Vietnam War. And a few other things. I babble a little bit, probably. Encourage people to stay away from this war stuff. It's destroyed our economy. This last war with Iraq, them and the gluttonous corporate weasels have destroyed our economy.
And we're going to have to leave it there. My guest has been Tom Brown. Tom, thank you so much for being my guest here on Brainstorming. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks so much, Bill.
You bet.